Hello, welcome to this week's P&E chat. Dave Said and Adam Lord talking all things Preston North End as ever. Thursday afternoon, slightly later than usual, but we have good news.
We have, yeah.
Breaking news.
I've just completed a training course. That's why we're an hour late.
We've just
had to do a training course. Yeah, hence the, yeah. We've just learned how to be journalists, haven't we?
I was going
to
say journalism for dummies, wasn't it?
Yeah,
something like that. Took an hour, though. Which is
I had to speak on Facebook for an hour.
Oh, there is. Yeah, we need one of them, don't we?
Yeah.
Need one of them badly. Football.
Mm-hmm.
Sun's out. Football's back.
Brilliant after the international break, yeah. Enjoyed watching the internationals, but you can't beat the equal football.
I say football's back. We had international football.
And we've had League One, League Two, non-league football. We've had a lot, but no. People seem to think the whole thing grinds to a halt, which is not really that case.
I was going
to
say, if you read some of our colleagues in the national newspapers, England did win the World Cup during the international break, which is nice.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Won the Nations League, yeah.
It's coming out.
They did play well, though, given that. Monday's not a great game on Monday.
Yeah, great to watch. But club football is what it's all about.
It is.
Off to merry old Hull.
Yeah, Hull and back, hopefully with 3 points.
Yeah, third bottom against bottom, so we shall see. What... we usually reflect on a game to get us warmed up and get people involved. Mm-hmm. But questions, comments, anything and everything as ever, just to keep us talking.
Yeah.
And get you guys involved. But let's reflect on the internationals and what the North End boys did. Just the three away with Ireland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Varying involvements.
Mixed bag, wasn't it? Yeah. Callum Robinson, came on as a sub in the Denmark game on Saturday. Started the defeat against Wales on Tuesday. He was substituted in the second half by Sean Maguire, Preston for Preston. That substitution was booed, not because it was Callum Robinson who played badly and it was Sean Maguire coming on. It was the fact that Callum Robinson was coming off because he'd probably been, from the bits I saw in between nodding off on the couch and having a brew and doing things like that, he looked by far the best player out there. It was just a bit strange to substitute him, I thought. Obviously, Maguire came on for him and got 25 minutes, half an hour, which was good for his recovery. And poor old Alan Brown had a bit of a dull trip, really. He wasn't even on the bench for the Denmark game, but was a unused sub against Wales. So not too much involvement for him. You could say, though, at least he's rested. He would have trained, kept ticking over. Maguire out of that. Probably looks like he was used pretty sensibly, not using the first game at all. Done training, I know North End and Ireland liaised closely over his training load over the last few days. And then, Robinson, who's the most involved, probably played, 90 minutes over the two games, really. So he's a fit lad anyway, plenty of energy, hasn't he? So and he's a lad playing with sky-high confidence at the moment. And two more appearances, not saying for his country, but for the country he's chosen to play for. Well, absolutely.
You can't say for his country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it will lift that confidence even higher. So
yeah.
Please for him.
Maguire was the one, wasn't it, where we were crossing fingers?
Yeah, yeah.
Alex Neil, very diplomatic beforehand, and we spoke to him this morning, very diplomatic again.
Mm, yeah.
Ireland did it by the book.
Yeah.
Everyone was happy, singing off the same hymn sheet. And
yeah.
I don't think 30 minutes will do him any harm whatsoever.
No, it won't do. No, as I say, not using him at all in the first game was, that was fine. It was a bit more, a bit longer to get some training into him. And then, a half an hour run, won't have done any harm. He got 20 minutes when he came on against Wigan before the international break. 20 minutes there, another, 10 minutes on top of that, an extra 10 minutes this time. He's gradually probably building up. So, no, that won't have done any harm at all. I think what they were worried about was more the sort of training loads and what kind of training they were going to do. Where obviously with his type of injury at the moment, he's going to need some kind of careful management and personal program to make sure that hamstring tendon stays, how it should do. So I think that was a concern more than actual playing minutes.
You asked Alex Neil about it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, we're in the same situation we were in last season, weren't we, where there's going to be an eagerness to get him involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you've just got to play it so carefully, haven't you, the guy who's been as fragile as he's been.
Yeah, but probably last season they handled it well. Sub against Bolton, and he came on and scored on his first appearance, came back and scored twice, didn't he, in a half-hour run. Sub against Bristol City and came on and scored. Then I think he started the Fulham game after that. And then, had a run of starts and went towards the end of the season, there was a couple of games he sat out. And I can see it being similar this season. And And at the moment, in terms of scoring goals, that is not North End's issue at the moment. Now, if you'd said that earlier in the season when they couldn't score a goal away from home to save their lives and whatnot, but they're now the seventh highest goal scorers in the Championship. They've obviously found a way of scoring, even if that might be meaning goals have been shipped at the other way. But in terms of having to chuck Maguire straight back in, you know, they don't probably need to do that at the moment. They've got Lucas from Mametja, who's looked good these last couple of games after an iffy sort of, you know, settling in period. And then obviously Callum Robinson's been playing up front. He's another alternative up there. So they could, at the moment, they could probably afford to limit Maguire to sort of 20 minutes, half an hour. If they need him to come in and make an impact from the bench, happy to do so.
Yeah, as you say, the pressure's the big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we had visions pre-Aston Villa, probably, when the talk started ramping up about him potentially being available again, of this him being the saviour of the season.
Yeah.
But it's not quite that sort of situation, is it, he's coming back into.
He could play defence, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's say, you know, a fully fit Maguire, you know, firing on all cylinders with a strong hamstring, with the options of Mametja, with the options of Callum Robinson and Louis Malt as well, it's, you know, it's good, isn't it? Yeah, but as I say, they can just afford to, you know, just ease him back, just, you know, use him sensibly.
Right, hello to David Tina Humphreys, Owen Mulholland and William Besser, who says, good morning. Now, I don't know whether you've either slept really well or you are one of our... If you are an international viewer, we do like to know where they're coming in from, so... if you let us know where you are, William. If you do think it's morning, I hate to break it to you, it's 12 minutes past four.
Sound like a radio. Might be a student.
You might be a student.
Yeah, or on a night shift.
Yeah. Many options. Please clarify.
What pigeonhole him as a student?
Please type in the comments box and let us know what you're up to.
He says he lives in Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, there you go.
Boston, Massachusetts. Are you a boxing fan, William? There's a big boxing fan. There's a big boxing show in Boston at the weekend, which
Boston, Lincolnshire.
Yeah. Boston, Lincolnshire. Boston, Mass. Yeah. Right. People have actually made some points. Let's read them out. On Maguire, that's linked. So, David Tina Humphries, do you think we should stick with the same team we had against Wigan, apart from Pearson, who, if we mentioned this last week, and Alex Neil clearly quite frustrated about it this morning, or failed diplomatic, is banned for his fifth booking.
Yeah.
Do we think same team again?
I would.
Key news this morning is that Ryan Ledson is fit.
Yeah, he had a sprained ankle, which forced him to miss the Wigan game. He wouldn't have started the Wigan game anyway because DJ took his place, having taken over at halfway through the half-time of the Villa game. So, but he suffered a sprained ankle in training. But no, he's fit. Mm-hmm. He's been training okay these last few days. Personally, I keep it the same. And, they kept the first clean sheet in the league since the first game of the season against Wigan. With a slightly surprising back four, I thought. None of the full-backs, you know, fair enough, that we knew Fisher and Hughes are going to play, but to pair Tom Clark and Jordan Story together for the first time as a sort of two pairing, and I thought they were fine. The fact that they didn't concede any goals, the fact that as a team they defended well, because they limited Wigan to very few chances actually. So if you keep a clean sheet, I think, you know, the best thing to do will be to reward that defence again. Obviously, Neil makes a big play of sometimes he picks certain combinations, having had a look at the opposition to assess what their strengths and weaknesses are. I think Story and Clark both played thinking there was a chance Joe Garner might have played for Wigan. He didn't start, he came on from the bench, and they wanted to cope with his, you know, his physical height, you know, power and whatnot, and strength in the air. But I was thinking, you know, if they didn't go with Clark and Story again, you know, would it send out the wrong messages to them? I don't know. Look, we'll get a clean sheet for the first time since, you know, for a number of games. You know, what else do you have to do to stay in the team? But obviously, you got Paul Huntington's back. He missed the last game with a slight groin issue. And Ben Davies was, on the bench that day. He just came on right at the end, didn't he? But some good options there. But if you ask me, I'll personally, apart from the midfield change, Ledson coming in for Pearson, I'd be very tempted to keep it the same.
I go with horses for courses. Yeah. I'm fine with that to a degree.
Yeah.
Hull aren't very good.
No.
And
no.
I know North End are only 22nd.
Yeah.
We you and I know, well, you know better than me, you know Phil Buckingham over at the paper in Hull, that they are not very good at the moment. No. It sounds pretty desperate. There's takeovers going through.
There sounds like there's a bit behind the scenes.
It's all coming together, isn't it?
So. It's not just poor form. I just get the impression things just aren't quite right over there, really. So
Yeah, this is a point made by Alex Neil, actually. So, James Wright, hi, guys. Hi, James. A regular
I thought
James.
You said Alex Neil had written in there. So I thought that'll be good, wouldn't it?
Alex from Springfield.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Hi, James. Big three fixtures coming up. Hull, Brentford and Rotherham. Mm. Which games do you think our best chance of winning are? Need the points. Mm. Alex Neil's point that he repeated again today is that... he uses the word batch, doesn't he? And he extended it. We've sort of... We did a piece on our website this week about the next five being an opportunity. Yeah. After those three, it's Ipswich and Bristol City away.
Mm-hmm.
Ipswich having a particularly difficult time, Bristol City being a place that North End traditionally like going. But then Alex Neil sent it to eight, didn't he?
Yeah.
Then said, if we have a good run now, we can set ourselves up for the second half of the season. Yeah. So
well, it's five between the sort of
it's only five
international breaks.
Break,
then after the international break, was it Rovers, Blackburn here, Middlesbrough here, and Birmingham away, I think it is.
Yeah.
And then you're in December's fixtures then, So, yeah, managers do tend to like to work. Neil was explaining today that he might not sort of specifically work international break to international break, but he said it's almost a natural thing now with it there. You sort of find your mind wandering to, well, we've got sort of five games to the next break and whatnot, and he's just looking a little bit towards it. But, yeah, they've got, you know, you look at, I think they've played about quite a lot of the top 10 now, haven't they? You know, when you look at it, I think they've lost to five of the top 10 or something. So
yeah, looked at the table the other day, didn't we, and thought, you know what, I mean, they've had a bad run, but they played most of the teams that are up there. I mean, you want to be competing with them better than they have done. But
but if you're going to be serious about doing anything this season, they need to be picking points up regularly over these next sort of three, five, eight games, whatever, however short term or long term you're looking.
Well, the first port of call obviously is to pull themselves away from the ball.
Then,
if you can kick on, you need to be kicking on towards the middle of the table if you're going to have something to really
get. It's interesting how you look at it. You might look at this, say, you look at Hull's position there. They went bottom when North End got off the bottom the other week. So that's this week. You've got to look at this one as a winnable game, don't you? Brentford in midweek. Bit of a bogey team for North End down the years. Just changed manager, lost Dean Smith, who went to Villa. Appointed one of his coaches, whose name evades me.
Thomas Frank.
This appointed, sensible, probably a very sensible appointment from within to keep the continuity there. Yeah. So maybe a little bit of an unknown quantity on Wednesday. And then Rotherham at Deepdale week on Saturday. Again, that's the kind of game you should be winning. And then Ipswich. Again, they're down there with North End.
It looks like a real opportunity. And
it
it's funny how two results changes his opinion, doesn't it? Because you might look at this and think, crack it, teams in and around them. But now it's like, no, let's kick clear at that lot and move on. Just one thing to pick up while we're doing sort of news from today. Josh Harrop?
Yeah, he had his operation yesterday in a hospital over in the Leeds area. Apparently, all went well, as far as an operation to repair a torn, ruptured anterior cruciate ligament goes. Alex Neil said, I think he's back in with the squad at the training ground next Monday to start his rehab. It's a long process, isn't it? A long, painful at times, probably a very boring one at times, but it's a necessary rehab to build that knee up again. They're expecting Josh to miss the rest of the season, getting back fresh, ready for the start of next season. But, you send him, wishing really well, don't you, with it. And, let's hope it's as speedy a recovery as possible. So I believe it was a very top surgeon who's done it. He's been in decent hands. So, while once a cruciate ligament injury like this used to... came close to finishing people, didn't it, nowadays? I'm not saying it's routine, but players tend to get back okay from
it. As perverse as it might be, Billy Beldon might help him.
Yeah,
so you got a guy who's sort of two or three
months ahead of him.
Oh, I remember that phase, I remember that. Speaking to them before, because North End haven't had a lot of luck with injuries like this.
Mm-hmm.
You say boredom It's a big thing. They want to get out there, don't they? Yeah. And you know.
But the rehab is all, it's all gym work, isn't it, to strengthen the legs, you know, keep the knee, get the knee flexing properly again, keeping the, all the muscles in your leg built up, and it's repetitive stuff, isn't it? So, but as you say with Billy Bowden, Joshua will be able to look at him as an example and think, well, say he's what, 2 months behind Billy in his recovery.
Bowden was just before the start of the season.
Yeah, so we'll be able to look, you know, well, look where Bowden is now. I'll be like that, sort of just beyond Christmas, etc. And you know, just keep comparing. You know, you can't compare exactly like for like, but it, you know, there'd be you know a sort of similar recovery pattern. I would have thought so.
Two big attacking players on the sidelines.
Oh yeah, always, yeah.
Always remembering.
Yeah.
Dave Nelson, 15 points before the next break, please. It's optimistic.
Yeah,
we like a bit of optimism.
I'd love that. I would love that. Yeah.
Like a bit of optimism here.
Manager of the month award. That
feels like there is a chance to. Hull feels like a. Get in them early, get up in the game, and the crowd may go.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. So with North End's last away game at Villa, was well, they didn't do it, they went behind, but as soon as he got back into the game, the crowd turned and, you know.
It was the end of Brucey.
Yeah. North End could sort of show the sort of form, you know, some strong form from the first whistle and getting Hull's faces and establishing themselves in the game, you know, as you say, could turn the home fans there.
You've written a piece about the fans this week.
Yeah.
Darren Parkinson, Darren Regler, good to have you on, Darren. Nice idea of Hull regard the pricing.
Yeah, very good.
It's nice and reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah, they did it last season as well. They sell it in, they sell blocks in stages at different prices. First two blocks of seats they had on sale, they're about 800 seats, I think, at £12. Great
really,
price
really,
in that.
Really good value,
early covers, if you got in early, you got that. If you got on the coach as well, whatever the coach fee was, I think you could get there for 25, you know, you're ticking your coach for £25. Those initial 800 have now sold out. They're on the next stage of selling, which is £18, which still, compared to some grounds, isn't bad at all. £18 is still...
Tough leads,
yeah. Well, you know, North End's one of the cheaper away prices, but that's still 24, you know, and if this is on 18. So I think ticket sales yesterday were around the 1,000 mark, so...
It's up to nearly 1,100 today.
Yeah, you'd like to think it would be pushing 13 or 1,400 maybe by Saturday. You know, a few more sales today and tomorrow. You often get a lot of people buying on Friday, or come on, let's go.
I presume
if they can pay on the day or go and get a ticket Saturday morning, it will just push it on that little bit more. Weather's okay, isn't it, at the moment? So, yeah, so... But I did a piece online in the paper about... the away followings this season. At the moment, North End's average away followings in the 6 league games, away games so far, is the lowest in the division, just under 600. But, as I pointed out, they've had 3 midweekers. Leeds, when it was like, you had to remortgage your house to afford a ticket. Villa on a Tuesday night when they're on a bad run. And Norwich, which is like, you know, other end of the country on a Wednesday night.
Some reporters didn't even go stats.
No, they didn't. There are reasons for it. And these midweek games as well, most of them are on the red button or on iFollow now, which...
There is a wider issue on that.
There is. I don't think it is a healthy one at all on that. So there are reasons for the lower numbers of away supporters, but... You look, North End also went to Leeds in the League Cup. They took nearly 900 there, I think, nearly 1,000 now, because they had they had tickets at a reasonable price for the Cup, but compared to the League. So, but North End have still got 3 derby games to come: Blackburn, Bolton, and Wigan away. They've got Stoke away, for example. They've got the 3 London away days, which are always well supported. So I think you'll find that sort of average away following steadily rising.
Expect us to level out. Yes.
Yeah.
We did the piece, didn't we? There was
it's not criticism. It was just
no. There was
a fact, no.
There was discussion about it, wasn't there?
Biggest surprise: Leeds weren't the highest. Villa were the highest. You know, Leeds would take 5 million to every away game.
Five million. Yeah.
Yeah.
Population of a small South American country.
South American manager.
You were on the team. I think you gave your opinion that it's sort of probably unchanged, and we sort of covered it, but. James says, could Maguire and the Metro start on Saturday? It's a really interesting combination. Big un and a little un.
Metro's not huge, is he, in terms of knocking the ball on? But I just don't think they'll risk Maguire at this stage from the start. You could see it during the game, you know, but in a sort of... and then you could almost play, you can play Maguire as a 10, or you can play him, when he came on against Wigan, he played wide, didn't he? You know, like, you know, played in the sort of 4-2-3-1. He was on the sort of right-hand side to start with, and the left.
Yeah, he's you know, in a bit like Callum Robinson, although he's probably more of a centre-forward.
Mm.
He could play anywhere across the
yeah.
front.
Yeah. Well, we've had this debate as well before. The way North End play with wide players, the wide attackers, they're not wingers, are they? So you could play Shawnee down the side of Nemechu, and like, as Robinson does on the other side. So, but no, as I say, I just think it's a bit soon for a Maguire start at the moment.
Yeah, we did a few bits over the international break to try and fill some of your time, and one of the more interesting ones was we asked you to pick your own 11.
Mm-hmm.
Unsurprising results in that it was loaded further forward. Maguire off Nemechu with Robinson and Barkays and White.
Didn't Alan Brown get picked twice or something?
Alan Brown got picked twice, which is impressive. So Shawnee got in the number 10 role.
Yeah.
And it was the young central defensive pairing of Ben Davis and Jordan Story.
We've got in, yeah.
Story is becoming something of a story, isn't
it?
It
is, yeah.
Slowly but surely, the lad is showing why everyone was quite excited when they got him.
Yeah.
4-year contract as well, don't have many of those out.
Yeah.
So.
$500,000 signing. Yeah. Right, I'm rising,
but still, 17. He's showing why there was a bit of excitement about getting him, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So he came in, he had the three cup games when he played in that three-man defence against West Brom. And then in the flat back line against and Wigan and the foot. Him and Clark linked up very well in that one. So, yeah, he's one, you know, there might be times when you have to dip him out of it, take him out, give him a breather, you know, have a look, you know, tell him to have a look at how the game from the sidelines, you know, and learn it that way. But as well, there's no better way of learning when you're in the defence.
Clarky won't forgive me saying it. It's the old head, wasn't it? And the young pup,
isn't it?
Made quite a nice combination.
I was talking to, actually, I did an interview with Tom Clark over the international break, and he said, I asked him about Jordan Story, and one thing he was very impressed with Story about was his communication and how loud he was in the game. He wasn't this shrinking violet 21-year-old shy lad who's only played less than 20 sort of first team games. You know, in his career he was talking, he wasn't afraid to sort of, you know, get his point across when it came to positioning or things like that, and I think that's something that, you know, really struck with Tom Clark, which is a good sign.
It is, and I remember talking to Ben Davis after he captained the team at Leeds, and he was a bit sort of, you know, wide-eyed about, well, I had to go into this room and talk to the referee, and he said I was louder.
Yeah.
He said I shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I should be that loud anyway. He said, but I was louder because I had the armband on. Yeah. So it's something they're acutely aware of. But yeah, as you say, somebody like Story to be, you know, clearly impressing an older player with his how vocal he was.
You need to talk when you're even a pairing like that. Yeah. You need to be talking with your teammates, don't you?
But it was Davis and Story that night. Yeah. So Davis probably felt he had to step it up a notch with Jordan next to him. Prediction for Saturday?
I'm gonna go for a win. They're going to win 2-0.
They're going to win 2-0.
They're going to win 2-0. Mm-hmm.
So, predictions for the weekend, we'll have some of those, please.
1-0 last season, 2-1.
Yeah, double over them.
Yeah, 2-1 both times, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't
a great record at the K-Con Stadium until last season. So, yeah. But no, I just fancy them going there and getting something.
Yeah, Hull is... Neil identified a few players today, didn't he? On paper...
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad lucky score.
Not at all, no. Especially going forward.
They can't get going. I remember the game last season, Nigel Adkins was grilled by one of the local reporters there, wasn't he? And it was clearly all wasn't quite well with him.
No.
Clearly a nice fella, hadn't got the team going really, etc, etc. And it's... You just feel if you go there and you start well, it will make a big difference, don't it?
Remember when North End went there last September and won? They had the Russian guy, Slutsky, in charge.
Yeah.
He seemed to come across a nice, decent fella, but he was so down, wasn't he? His team had
just been done in the last minute.
Yeah, but he looked like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. He really did. I think maybe he got a bit of a hangdog expression anyway. But my word, he didn't look at one with the world at all, did he? You know, so you say with the squad, you know, they've got some really decent players there, you know, like the Campbell up front, the three forwards,
three out and out strikers are Campbell, Chris Martin, obviously on loan there, and Noah Dicko, knows his way around the championship really well.
Jared Bowen on the wing, who scored in both games against North End last season. They've got the Polish fellow on the other side.
Yeah.
Jackson Irvine, the Australian.
Really good player for Burton, wasn't he?
Yeah, who pops up with goals from midfield, but couple of ex-North End loanees in their squad. They've got Will Keane, who obviously had a spell on loan for Man United here before cutting that one short. And then they've got Todd Kane as well, who I think he's on his 8th loan spell from Chelsea. North End had him on loan in 2012-13 season under Graham Wesley. And he was obviously younger then, but he wasn't exactly a kid then. But here we are now, 2018, he's still a Chelsea player and still out on loan. It's, I don't know. It's what you're finding with these bigger Premier League teams, aren't they? They're stockpiling players, these young players, and they just seem to loan after loan after loan, and they're never going to get a first team chance there, are they?
I'll come back to that point. Mm-hmm. Sam Thomas 1-0, James Rice Hull away off it 3-1 North End. Early goal important, I think.
First goal, Alex Neil's hammering that last few press conferences, how important the first goal in a game is. He said North End looked more comfortable if they're not chasing.
And Dave Nelson 2-0 win, team on the way to regaining last season's form. Early days, Dave, but fingers crossed. On the loans thing, Lucas Nemeth spoke after the Wigan game, which seems a long time ago now, and he was asked about the system at City and the loans and things, and you're looking at him going, this is a kid who's got it all, potentially. Yeah. Is he going to get a kick at Manchester City? And I was already talking about Phil Foden, who's supposedly the next great star of English football league in the country.
Younger, though, isn't he? Foden's actually younger than Nemeth.
Jadon Sancho's gone to Borussia Dortmund to get in the England squad. You know,
there's talk of Foden going to Germany now, isn't there? You know, that's what within the national paper gossip columns. Yeah, but no, it's... It must be great coming through these academies at Premier League teams, but where's it leading you in the end? Is it setting you up for a career at that club, or is it more likely somewhere else?
I mean, Nemeth was very mature.
Yeah.
Very impressive. He sort of said, he was asked by one of our colleagues in the national newspapers why he hadn't gone to Villa or Leeds, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He were interested in him and some bigger clubs, and sort of said, he said it's a bit close to Manchester, which is quite, you know. But then said, Alex Neil taught me around, which you heard before. But then also said, listen, I know I'm going to plaque and make an impact and play here. I'm not going
to. Wondered if he got to Villa, there was others will have been ahead of him.
Yeah, he would have been in case. Like, look at that Villa side at North End faced. He would have.
But at North End, to be fair, others got ahead of him for a while, didn't they?
Yeah,
because he started most of the games in August. In September, he had a bit of an injury and then couldn't get back in, basically. So he is learning, you know, that you've got to sort of show your worth to get in the team. It doesn't matter where you're coming from and you know what standard of club your parent club's at. You know, you've got to prove your worth at the club where you're on loan at.
Yeah, do not underestimate how little senior football he played for the game. I think I calculated yesterday 16 minutes he played for Manchester City's first team.
Yeah,
two Checker Trade Trophy games.
Yeah,
and a goal in one of those, and that was it.
Yeah,
so to chuck him in at Swansea in the Championship was quite the baptism of fire for the lad. Mm-hmm. Just one final talking point, because I don't think we discussed this last week. Sam Thomas asked about the Barkers and Ear Cup against Wigan. We talked to Tom today indirectly about that.
Mm.
Never a lad afraid to make his point. I think he had a back and forth with a fan or two, didn't he?
But I just think, you know,
the lad was.
It's probably not the wisest thing to do, but when you've got people probably effing and Jeff, some of the people have effing Jeffed him, you know, about his work rate, you know, maybe on social media or from the crowd, he's heard things from the crowd. The young lads, you know, spur of the moment, he's probably reacted. Not the wisest thing to do, but I didn't need it to go into the hoo-ha, you know.
He also said on social media, one of the fans, he said, emotion probably got the best of me, you know. I've just scored in a derby in front of 4,000 Wigan fans and I've just lost my head a bit, you know.
Sometimes, footballers are paid well, they've got to, part of the acceptance is that you've paid well, you've got to put up with that stick, which is fair enough. Sometimes a stick goes beyond, you know, what others would term acceptable. And if you're going to be dishing out that kind of stick from the stands, do you have to expect something back? You know, like a gesture like that? I don't know. So it wasn't the worst in the world, was it?
No.
Sort of ear cupping, it wasn't. There was no gesturing or anything. So I just think we should have been concentrating on the fact he got his first league goal of the season, you know, and followed one up that he scored in the League Cup, really. So I think if you ask most North End fans about it, most would side with Barkhuizen on that one.
I think they would.
I don't know what people think, you know, that's personally my view,
We shall see. Right, so I want to get that question in, but Rick Garnett, sorry, I will get that. Hello, fellas, late to the party. Hull 1, PNE 2, we'll take that. Yeah. Plenty of positivity, which is nice.
It's nice for one, yeah.
But you feel it's kind of run of games where they need to back it up.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want just a win and a draw before the international break and then to sort of hit the buffers again and have to start again, build up that sort of positivity and way of playing, do you? So no, they need to go on a run now, really. So
we shall see those of you making the trip to Humberside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trick, if you get on the M62,
keep going. If you get wet, you've gone too far. You're in the North Sea.
I lived there very, very briefly myself, so I know that.
I was told today some.
I once asked as a very young journalist what the way there was, and it was polite to point out to me that if I went the right way on the M62, I couldn't miss it. So not a bad trip over.
Yeah, some roadworks near the ground.
Yeah,
we're told.
Was what we're told today. Yeah, the slowest part of your journey might be within sort of yards of the stadium, which is always. Probably the most frustrating way to do it.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Looks like there's going to be a great North End following. Hopefully they will be rewarded with a good performance.
That
will just get things going.
Yeah.
Just get things going. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for comments. And we shall see you next week.